Blog Talk Radio.
No, this isn't RKO, man. Good evening, and welcome to Eerie House Radio. I'm Dale K from Spook Show, accompanied by...
Get out of the way, Goat. It's Dave Binkley from Where This Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And Goat.
Yes, and Goat. And that's all, unfortunately, for the moment. I'm hoping that CW joins us shortly. Who knows? We got good old Bob in the chat. Others to follow, I'm sure. As we continue our weekend studying the pleasures of a not nougat-filled Earth.
Yeah.
Hollow Earth.
That does... Yeah, you know, there are advantages to a nougat Earth, but on the other hand, once that's all mined, Dale, there would never be another nougat, and you'd be out of luck. So, you know, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know if you got a chance to look at the ad. It kind of reminds me of that, and I refer to it again, that intro from Mole Men with the crazy explanations. But one of the theories this guy discussed, which was a novel concept I had never heard before. Was that there's a theory that we're not looking out into space, we're looking in, and like we're like in the middle of a giant sphere of which we are, our Earth or whatever is the crust, but looking in, and space and everything is in the center. Okay. Well, hey,
I'm sure it wouldn't take long to break that one down, but.
Like to see him show that one on the planetarium.
Yeah.
Another South Park reference.
This Earth would be a whole lot bigger than what I ever thought it was, if that's true.
Yeah, well, you know, it's all relative. It's all relative. So saith Einstein and other smart guys. And some pretty smart guys come up with these crazy theories and wonderful stories about them. Tonight's show, CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Dave's going to make believers out of us.
Well, he's going to try. But, you know, it's just like looking into that. The guy, it's funny you brought that up because I was looking into the writer of our episode, which was Percy Grainger. And I had heard his name several times. Percy. Matter of fact, he'd written 31 episodes of the Radio Mystery Theater. But where did he come from? Well, Percy Grainger graduated from Norman High School in Norman, Oklahoma in 1963. He played the lead of Harold Hill in The Music Man at Norman High, which became well-remembered performance over the years. His father, Dr. Bruce Grainger, was a longtime professor of English at the University of Oklahoma. His brother, Adam Grainger, had written about, taught, and played fiddle tunes in a flat pick style for more than 25 years in Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's a veteran member of the House, a band for the Prairie Home Companion. Remember that? And
he
recorded 6 albums. Percy Grainger's untimely death in 1997 cut short an extremely promising career as a playwright in New York City. So what did he write? Well, let's see.
I think the last album was heavy metal, wasn't it?
It could have been. But he actually was writer in 279 episodes of the TV series Loving, which was, I believe, a soap opera. And he worked there in 1984 to 93. And in 1986 to 87, he was wrote five episodes of As the World Turns. And even a couple of made-for-TV movies, My Brother's Wife and The Comeback. So there you go.
There you go, and there we went.
That's just something I hadn't really ever looked into, Percy Grainger, although, like I said, I've heard his name several times. Because, like I said, 31 episodes he did. And, of course, he appeared in quite a few episodes as well. Oh, he wrote 31 episodes. He appeared in 32. Now, his roles were usually not large enough that he got a billing for it, but still, you know, cool when the writer, I think it's really cool when the writers get a chance to act in the shows.
Yeah, because it's not like you know, if it's your own studio, of course you can do that. Operations like you and me. Yeah, I think I'll cast myself in my show. But this guy's a writer working on a big so he was selected and approved by, I guess, the directors and producers of the show.
Right, right.
That's pretty cool.
So I think it's pretty cool that he got to actually be in some of these as well. So it's funny, they say he's he died in 90, so he was. He was really, approximately 40 when he died. Although, with a balding head, the picture they have of him here on the CBS Radio Mystery Theater website, cbsrmt.com, he looks more like 60 or better. Because as you lose your hair, you automatically look a little bit older, I think.
Unless you're Yul Brynner.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know because you and I have such, and Gar, all three have such beautiful heads of hair.
Luscious locks.
Well, mine aren't long enough to be luscious locks, but okay.
I'm going for the Troy Palomino or whatever his name was. Palomalo. That's it, Palomalo.
Palomalo. Troy Palomalo, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going for that
one. Hey, Cleveland fan can't do that. But okay, sure.
Yeah, the guy's a character. I don't know if I'm going to be a Cleveland fan much longer.
I agree. I'm actually pulled myself out of the fanhood of the football team because of the absolutely ironic idiotic ownership, and I'm just about done with them. I was almost dead for a time when Art Modell did what he did and left town
it's just been soul crushing in this town. If you're a football fan, move to Cleveland.
Don't do it. Yeah.
Or keep rooting for the home team you come from, because I got a feeling we're not going to be for a long time. We had a good thing going. It wasn't great. We didn't go all the way, but we were knocking on the door.
Well, we were, and then ownership stepped in again. They were quiet. Then they stepped in again, and everything's messed
right.
up.
They stepped in all right.
which is why we love old-time radio, because it never disappoints, Dale.
You know, I thought I was the segue master, indeed. We ought to get back to business with CBS Radio Mystery Theater. I love it on Saturday. It just fits our Saturday time schedule so well. To have one nice long episode of a great show, a little more modern than the older programs we typically will play on a Friday, but
and many times we get the commercials of when you and I were growing up. And
I was just going to say thanks for keeping them in there for the show, because it's a thrill. it helps you relive the era a little bit.
And it did disappoint me, and all the ones I found. They've cut out the commercials, but the General Mills Adventure Theater, all the breakfast cereals that General Mills did, that's what they advertised on there. Mm. I'm so disappointed I haven't found any with the commercials in.
It's hard enough finding Quisp commercials for stuff from later in the 70s, but I digress. I got a taste for Quisp and or Quake now. God. All right, let's start with CBS Radio Mystery Theater, The Believers.
Episode number 968, and it's from April 4th of 1970
and 9. Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. The world is composed of many different kinds of beliefs and believers. Depending on who you are and where you're from, certain beliefs will seem quite natural, and others will not. The world, by and large, has become a more tolerant place than it used to be, but even so, or perhaps for this very reason, there are people who possess beliefs of such fantastical magnitude, we can scarcely think they are serious. And yet they are. Deadly serious.
We've got to keep going. We're almost there. I'm sure we are.
I think we'd better turn back while we still can.
Why? You saw the evidence with your own eyes, didn't you?
Why do you keep calling it evidence? That guy is a crackpot. And if we keep going, we may never come back.
Our mystery drama, The Believers, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Percy Grainger and stars Christopher Tabori. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Take your contact, take it now. Give your cold to contact.
Can your cold medicine fight the congestion, shrink the swollen membranes, help relieve the runny, sneezy, cloggy misery caused by every known cold virus? Are you sure? Contact can. Today's Contact does all that up to 12 hours, all day, all night, no matter what cold virus attacks. That's the wonder of Contact.
Give your cold to Contact.
Take only as directed.
Here's your big chance to save a small fortune. Now through April 14th, JCPenney diamonds are on sale for 20% off. A magnificent collection of diamond rings for men and women. Diamond earrings, pendants, and pins. All with the brilliance and clarity you find only in fine diamonds. And all at 20% off. Now through April 14th.
What in the world happened in April? Brought to you by your local Navy recruiter. April is Admissions Day for Maryland, admitted in 1788 as our 7th state. And Louisiana, admitted in 1812 as our 18th state. George Washington was sworn in as our first president in April of 1789. And the first U.S. Congress began regular sessions at Federal Hall, New York City. In April of 1860, the first Pony Express run was made from Missouri to California in 10 days. The motto, In God We Trust, was first stamped on all U.S. coins in April of 1864. The Navy's first submarine, the USS Holland, was commissioned in April of 1900. Navy Commander Robert E. Peary and Matthew Henson reached the North Pole in April of 1909. What in the World Happened in April is brought to you by your local Navy recruiter, who will answer your questions about Navy opportunity. Or in the continental United States, call 800-841-8000, toll-free. In Georgia, 800-342-5855. Navy, it's not just a job, it's an adventure.
Someone once said that people believe only in the commonplace, that which they are accustomed to see. But Emerson maintained that we are born believing, and that we bear beliefs as trees bear apples. Some feel that you can even measure the depth of a person's soul by the magnitude of his beliefs. But belief is like most other things. Too much of it can be a dangerous thing. We're in a modest country house on the outskirts of a town in the Midwest.
Mother, I'm home. Mother, are you in the kitchen? Huh. Mom, where are you? Oh, there you are. You've been in the parlor the whole time. You were sitting so still, I didn't even see you. Well, why didn't you answer me?
Shh.
Mom, what's the matter?
Be quiet. I'm waiting.
Waiting for what?
Get away from that window. He might see you.
Who? What's going on?
Something very strange.
What? I don't see anyone out there.
I know. That's just it.
Oh, no, Mother.
It's that neighbor of ours, that Mr. Bolivar.
Oh, now, Mom, not that again.
I tell you, Alan, something very immoral is happening over there.
Now, Mr. Bolivar is a perfectly harmless old guy.
How does he make his living?
Well, that's none of our business.
But we don't know, do we? At least you have an honest job. You leave the house at a decent hour each morning and come home from the factory at a decent hour each evening with a decent day's sweat on your brow. Mr. Bolivar never leaves his house at all.
Well, maybe he works at home. I mean, we see him out in the garden a lot.
You do not make a living with a garden.
Maybe not. But I sure wish I could get our lawn to grow like his does. Look how green and thick he gets his grass to come in.
Yes, just like a cemetery. He's probably got people buried in it.
Oh, Mom, you've got to stop spending so much time peeping down the road at his house.
I'm not peeping. Something is going on, Alan, and if something is going on, it isn't peeping to try to find out what.
You spend your whole day at this window. It's not good for you, Mom.
Son, listen to me. It's happened again.
What?
A woman came to Mr. Bolivar's house. She went in, and she hasn't come out.
Is that her car in his driveway?
Alan, it's begun to happen more and more often. People drive up to Mr. Bolivar's house, they go in, and that's the last they are seeing.
They probably leave at night.
That's what we thought. But I found out this morning that's not true.
But their cars are gone. We've heard them drive away, or you've seen them.
Do you remember those people who came yesterday? Well, early this morning, the car left. I heard it. It woke me up just like it always does, but this was the first time it hadn't been pitch dark. It was just after dawn. You'd already gone to work. I rushed to the window, and you know who was driving the car? Eben Bolivar himself. And he was all alone. He returned about 2 hours later on foot. Now you tell me there's nothing wrong going on.
Are you sure there wasn't anyone else in the car?
I'm absolutely positive. And now he's got some fresh victims in there at this very moment. It may already be too late to save them.
What do you think we should do?
Well, I think you ought to go over there and find out what's happening.
Me?
Well, you two have always had a friendly wave for each other.
Mama, I had a long day in the factory. I'm tired.
Alan, he always comes out about this time of day to tend his garden. Now, you go wash yourself up, and I'll keep watch.
What about our supper?
Oh, look, there he is now. Hurry, dear. Now's your chance.
What am I supposed to say?
Well, I don't know, but you're a clever boy. Just don't let him know you suspect anything. And don't worry, dear. I'll be watching you.
Hello, Mr. Bolivar.
Oh, good evening, Alan. How are you?
Why, I'm just out for a walk.
Oh, really? I've never noticed you were in the habit of taking an evening constitutional.
Oh, it's my mother. She thought it would be good for me.
She doesn't think you get enough exercise on that assembly line, huh?
I guess not.
How is your mother these days?
Oh, she always seems to find something to do.
My mother was the same way. Yet I suspected she wasn't really happy. In fact, when I began to look around me, I discovered that to be true about a great number of people. We find 100 different ways to distract ourselves from the simple fact that we are discontented. And do you know why we're discontented, Alan?
No, why?
Because our lives are in the hands of other people. Our employers, our parents, and most of all, the government. People in positions of authority, ready to bend our lives to their whims.
I think I'm pretty happy.
Are you? Really? I don't think so.
Why not?
Well, you seem preoccupied, bothered by something.
Oh, no. I'm not at all.
Well, so you say. And yet you aren't looking at me as you speak.
Why, I was just looking at your lawn. I've always admired how you get your grass to grow in so thick. And well, I've tried reseeding our yard several times. It just never comes out like this.
I think you're evading the issue, Alan.
Well, sure, I could be happier. Who couldn't? I mean, I'd like to find a girlfriend. Like to get a raise in my salary so I could afford some of the things I've always wanted. Like a motorboat, camper bus.
Alan, these aren't things that make a person happy. They're simply further distractions.
You seem pretty happy.
Oh, I'm even more discontented than most. But I am doing something about it.
Really? What's that?
Well, let's say I have a belief, an abiding faith.
In God?
Oh, of course in God, but in something else as well.
What?
That we can improve upon the life we've all been forced to lead.
I sometimes wonder how. I guess I could use a little belief, too.
Could you?
If I thought it would help.
Well, not everybody is capable of belief.
Why not?
Well, a great belief requires a great man. Well, there are those who would ridicule you. There are those who would ostracize you for what you believe. Could you abide such things?
Yeah, I mean, if I really had something to believe in, I guess I could.
Can you believe, Alan? Can you really believe in something almost beyond comprehension, and yet so wonderful, so joyous, that the mere thought of it makes you determined to take control of your own life and free yourself from your discontent once and for all, huh?
Well, yeah, if that's what it would do, I mean, why not?
And for such a reward, would you even be willing to run the risk of death?
Death?
Huh. There may be those who would kill you for your belief.
Well, that's a whole new ballgame. I don't know.
Well, how great is your capacity for belief? Is it as strong as the desires of your heart? That's the truly happy person, Alan. The one who has the courage to follow his vision.
Just what is the vision?
Nothing less than the chance of a new life. I like you, Alan, and I trust you. You're young, you're strong, and like so many of us, you have a native intelligence that is wasted in your present situation.
Well, thank you.
Can you come over to my house this evening? I'm holding a meeting.
What kind of a meeting?
That I will tell you when you come. I think when you hear what I have to say, you'll have no qualms at all.
Okay, Mr. Bolivar. Well, I'll see.
Fine. Oh, about your lawn. I think the reason you're having difficulty is that you're underestimating the properties of the soil. If one will only appreciate its potential, there's no limit to what the earth can yield.
Well, what was he saying?
He invited me to his house tonight for a meeting.
Oh, dear.
I don't think I better go.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Alan, you're all I've got. I could never forgive myself if you disappeared. What did he say the meeting was about?
Belief.
Belief? In what?
Some kind of new life. He said he'd explain it all at the meeting. Oh, but you're right. I don't think I should go.
What time is the meeting?
8:00.
If I make you your dinner right away, you can be finished by then.
What?
Now, I think you've got to go.
Oh, not a mom.
We've got to find out what is happening, don't we? I mean, all those poor people.
Maybe we should just call the police.
No. What if they didn't find anything? Then Mr. Bolivar would be after us.
But I'd be putting my life in danger, Mom.
Yes. Yeah, but forewarned is forearmed. You'll be prepared. And, Alan, you're much bigger than he is. What can he possibly do to you?
Yeah, but...
Anyway, it's a meeting, isn't it? I mean, there will be other people there, so you'll outnumber him. No, you have to go, son. I want to know what's going on.
Oh, Alan, good. You decided to come.
I'm sorry if I'm late. We just finished supper.
Oh, that's perfectly understandable. You're not late at all. Come into the parlor. Just about to begin. I'll introduce you to the other person.
The other? You mean there's only one?
Hello.
Joan Larkin, this is Alan Pearson. Alan's a neighbor of mine.
How do you do?
Oh, hello.
Well, I guess we can begin.
No one else is coming?
I don't think so. Not tonight. But as we tend to forget in this day and age of mass conformity, even two individuals can make a quorum. And now, Alan, if you'll have a seat next to Joan, I'll welcome you to our society and tell you exactly why you're here.
A precipice is something villains traditionally leave heroes verging on at the end of an act. But no matter how high the precipice, one can always see where he will fall if he fails to hang on. A precipice of the mind is an altogether different matter, for it affords no view of the abyss that awaits the hapless victim. We'll find out what kind of a precipice Alan's mother's curiosity has landed him on when I return with Act Two.
I'm Susan Anton, and there is a better way to sleep. The perfect sleeper.
It's a good feeling to sleep the night away on a perfect sleeper. That could be a perfect sleeper. By a perfect sleeper, perfect sleeper.
Firmness that feels good. Every perfect sleeper has it, from the Signature One to the fabulous Avanti with Pillow Soft Top. Choose from a full range of comfort and firmness combinations and enjoy firm, deep support for your back and luxurious comfort on top for you.
Be a perfect sleeper. Buy a perfect sleeper. Perfect sleeper.
Yep, my collie's so lazy, I should have named him Serta. He's a perfect sleeper.
Susan Anton, what a very tall, statuesque, beautiful woman she was. Very tall.
Yep.
Yes.
There's a joke about a ladder. There's a joke sleeper, about though. A ladder. I'm not going there.
We just, okay, yeah. I guess I won't go where I was going. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Good.
See,
good,
that's what happens.
Story.
That's what happens when CW isn't with us. See, she keeps us in line.
I know.
She keeps us in line.
If you're listening, CW, we discipline me. No, I mean, we need you here to keep me out of trouble. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Right. Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, interesting story starting to kick in here.
It is. Somewhere along the way, we're going to find out what it has to do with a hollow earth. And
I think,
you better bet that's
I think
coming
it comes up
soon.
Yeah, I think it comes up directly in Act Two. We get to find out what this is all about. Oh, it's George Jetson.
It's George Jetson. His dog, Jane, or something. I don't know. Daughter Elroy.
Shame on you.
I don't know what I'm talking about half the time. You haven't figured that out by
there
now?
You do.
After 618 shows, today being 619. Dave and I were just reminiscing.
Yeah.
It's been a long road. We shared a lot with you folks, especially longtime listeners like Fogsbane. NCW is both a listener and now part of the Erie House family, inner workings. Gar, and just all the strange twists and turns Erie House Radio has gone through over, what, 5.5 years now?
5.5 years. It's hard to believe we've been going on that long. It really is. And very so interesting, some of the great guests we've had as well as... the fun that we've had while doing this. It's just
amazing.
It's such a joy to bring these great stories along with some people that sometimes had something to do with them, sometimes not. But you know, we have fun sharing these stories from that get lost in today's very video world.
People tell me that all the time. Get lost.
Yeah, I get that a lot, too.
I know. Something about us, gang. Something about us.
Yeah. But we try to, we have fun. We enjoy the stories. As Dale, as you well know, I fell in love with radio comedy and drama as a young teenager. And I've just never really given that up. And I want to thank you for this opportunity to share these the way that we do, because it's one thing to talk about it and give somebody a tape or something, but to share it in the way that we do, in the fashion we do with the hosts that we have on this show and the facts and fun things that we dig up, it just really is such an amazing ride. And hopefully, like Foggs is usually there along for the ride. And if he isn't here, he'll be listening in. I know it. And good old Bob, who's been such a great regular listener, when he started listening in. And I know he followed Gar here, but he's here with us on nights that the Gar isn't here even. Bob, we thank you for that. We really appreciate you being here and listening in and being part of our show and making the comments you do.
Yeah. And all the wonderful folks who comment pay attention to the Erie House Facebook page. We know that you're listening regularly too, especially some folks out in Sweden. Like 8 to 9% of our audience is from Sweden of the listeners, according to Log Talk, if you want to believe them guys. It's been a fun ride and more fun ahead. We might as well jump right in to part two. Now that we've made you a believer, let's see what kind of believer this guy's going to be made into as we return to CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
This is Safety Vision, a quick and easy method for observing potential hazards in your home. Let's start by activating your safety scan. Methodically focus on your hair dryer. Is the dryer mistakenly plugged in while not in use? Is it in a position where it could possibly fall into water and be a shock hazard? And is the dryer grill free of lint and hair? This time, focus on your electric food preparing appliances. Are they out of the reach of young children? And check that the appliance cord does not hang over a table edge or counter. Next, your safety scan should include checking all electrical appliances for an indication that the product design has been evaluated by safety engineers and complies with a nationally recognized safety standard. To do this, check for the UL label on the appliance. A public service message on behalf of Underwriters Laboratories and this station. The secret society is as old as mankind. Small groups of people who consider themselves the elect have always formed clandestine groups and flattered themselves with secret codes and rituals, and sometimes with secret knowledge. Knowledge that they feel gives them insight to the mysteries of life and death. Evan Bolivar has spoken cryptically of the chance of a new life, the chance to escape this world. Let us rejoin him to find out more.
Are you sure we shouldn't wait until more people show up?
Oh, there won't be any more people tonight, Alan. It's just you and Joan.
What kind of society is this?
Doesn't he know, Mr. Bolivar?
Not yet, Joan.
You mean you do?
Of course.
Joan has traveled a great distance to be here tonight. All the way from Lipitsky, Ohio.
I don't ever want to hear that name again.
You mean you know what's going to happen?
Of course I do. That's why I'm here. Now I'm going to have to wait.
I'm sorry, Joan. Your intended partner's had a last-minute change of heart. That happens frequently under the circumstances it's to be expected. They can't be blamed, and there's nothing to be done about it.
But you'll have to give Alan time to think about it, and I'm all ready to make the journey now.
Well, that'll be up to Alan.
What kind of journey are you talking about? What's the name of this society?
We call ourselves the Hollow Earth.
The Hollow Earth Club?
Mm-hmm.
You mean you think the Earth is hollow?
We don't think so, Alan. We know it is. We have proof.
This is the other world I was speaking of. It's not somewhere off in space or in the heavens. It exists right here, inside our own. It's a civilization of people superior to us in every way, technically and culturally. They live deep inside the earth, in towering cities of shimmering crystal.
Oh, Mr. Bolivar, excuse me, but I mean, are you serious? Where did you ever get a notion like this?
The notion has been around for centuries. There are references to the civilization of Hollow Earth in texts dating back to ancient times. The ancient Hebrews and Greeks knew of its existence.
Oh, but those were just myths.
Many governments have mounted expeditions to try to go into Hollow Earth. During World War II, the Germans sent a specially outfitted U-boat into the Arctic.
The boat never returned.
Every government-sponsored expedition has met with disaster.
Why?
Because governments are only interested in interfering and taking over. The Hollow Earth people do not approve of the mess we've made of surface Earth and want no part of it. That's why they've chosen to stay underground.
If these people don't let government expeditions into their domain, well, what makes you think they'll let you go down there?
That, Alan, is the chance we take. That is the risk I spoke of this afternoon.
It's very important that we make the journey with compassion and understanding. They must know that we respect them and have no desire other than to flee the same world they once did.
You still look skeptical.
Why, it's a pretty fantastic theory.
No, Alan, you're wrong.
Oh, but everyone knows the Earth is solid as a rock.
Jones, I guess we're going to have to show Alan our proof, aren't we?
You mean you have proof?
30 years ago, modern man came into actual contact with these wondrous people.
Someone's actually seen them?
Yes.
How?
There are large openings at the north and south poles that lead into Hollow Earth. These openings are normally obscured by snow and ice, but Alexander Hobbs, an Arctic explorer, discovered one of them in 1946. He left an account of his visit in a secret diary. Gave me the proof I'd been looking for, and that's when I moved here.
Why here?
We'll get to that in a moment. If you'll excuse me, I'll fetch Hobbs' diary, and you can hear for yourself what he discovered.
Miss Larkin?
You can call me Joan.
Are you seriously planning to go look for this place?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, it doesn't really matter why.
Mr. Bolivar said you drove all the way here from Ohio.
No, I'd rather not talk about it. Right now, my concern is where I'm going, not where I've been.
But you don't really believe you're going to find a civilization of advanced people in the middle of the Earth, do you?
I believe there's got to be a better world than this one.
Was it a man?
What?
Was it a man? Is that why you're so unhappy?
That's none of your business.
Here we are. This is Admiral Hobbs' secret diary. Just give me a minute to find the relevant entry. Here we are. The date is May 24th, 1946. My ensign and I were taken from our sled, which we'd used to make the first part of our descent into the crevasse. And we were then boarded on a small platform-like conveyance with no wheels. It moved us deeper into the earth, and finally toward the glowing city with great swiftness. Soon we arrived at the large building of a type I'd never seen before. It was constructed of a crystal-like material. Our hosts were, for the most part, blonde and extremely pale-complected. They received us cordially because they knew we came with no malice.
That sounds like something out of Buck Rogers.
It does indeed.
Well, where'd you get that diary from anyway?
It was entrusted to me by a survivor of the expedition. It goes on to describe in detail the nature of the life there. In all respects, an ideal existence.
Are we going to have to go all the way to the North Pole?
No. No, as I mentioned, I moved to this part of the country for a reason. Beneath the fields around our houses here, there is an extensive cave system. I spent 3 years digging a tunnel to those caves, the entrance to which is in this very room.
Where?
Oh, you may see for yourself. If you'll just give me a hand with this rug, huh? Now, if you'll look carefully, you'll notice the floorboards have been cut to create a trap door.
Look! There it is, the entrance to Hollow Earth.
I have hard hats, lights, and boots, everything you'll need for the descent.
Why do you keep the entrance hidden?
I may be paranoid, but I am convinced that the people of Hollow Earth have their eye on us at all times. Our success depends on their goodwill, and that in turn depends on our discretion.
And you think this cave system will lead you to Hollow Earth? Just like those holes in the Arctic?
I know it will. A great many members of our society have already made their descent, and not a single one has returned.
Oh, there could be another explanation for that.
I don't think it was a good idea to try bringing Alan into our club, Mr. Bolivar. He's not taking any of this seriously.
Mr. Bolivar, just what is in this for you?
Nothing.
What's the catch? The members of your club have to pay some enormous sum of money or sign over all their worldly possessions to you before they can go for a ride in your magic tunnel?
My only intention is to help people to a chance for a better life. I don't ask for anything in return.
Well, what would you do if I decided not to go?
Nothing.
But I know your secret.
It's no secret, Alan. It's true, we don't seek publicity. But the reasons for that should be obvious. Naturally, people would think we were crackpots.
And if I say no?
Well, that's up to you.
You mean I could leave?
All I would ask is that you be discreet about what you've learned this evening.
Well, okay then. I think I'll just go home.
All right.
But what's going to happen to Miss Larkin?
I'm going down.
Alone? But doesn't it bother you that all those other people have just vanished down there?
No.
Mr. Bolivar, you're not going to let her go down there by herself, are you?
Oh, I'd feel much better about it if she were accompanied, of course.
But you won't stop her?
No. What's the matter, Alan? You having second thoughts?
I don't think it's right she should go down there alone.
I can take care of myself.
No, Joan, Alan's right.
But he doesn't believe.
Well, perhaps not yet. But his concern for your safety shows a charitable nature, of which I'm sure the Hollow Earth people will approve. Besides, unless I'm very much mistaken, I think I detect just a glimmer of curiosity in him. And curiosity is the beginning of belief.
It also kills Cat.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
This is something, isn't it? I've lived here all my life and never knew about these caves. I bet we're passing under my house at this very minute.
Be quiet. The less they hear of your inane chit-chat, the better.
You think they're listening to us too, huh?
I wish you hadn't decided to come. I feel very unsafe with you.
Oh, I'm as curious as the next guy. I've always liked Mr. Bolivar. And I think his theory is, kind of neat.
Oh, please don't talk like that. They're not going to let anyone enter who just thinks it's all a big joke.
Well, now, you're not one of those people who's determined to be unhappy no matter what happens, are you?
Shh.
Because, you know, you're not bad looking, you know. How'd you ever get some boy to leave you in the lurch?
How do you know that's what happened?
I don't. Joan, stop. Stop and listen to me. My mother's seen a lot of people come into Mr. Bolivar's house. and she's never seen anyone leave it. Mr. Bolivar drives their cars away and comes home on foot.
Your precious mother.
Now, Joan, I'm being serious. You don't really think those people didn't return because they found some underground El Dorado, do you?
Why not?
100 things could have happened to them. They could have fallen off a ledge or gotten lost or starved to death. Or maybe they just walked right out the other end somewhere into a cornfield and were so embarrassed they just went home.
This is still all a big joke to you, isn't it?
I'll get serious when you do.
I am.
I don't believe it. No one could get hurt so badly that they'd have to buy this crazy story supported by nothing but a fake diary. And I think we've let this whole thing go on long enough. Now let's just turn around and go back to reality.
You have no right to give me orders. You can do whatever you want to, Alan. But I am going on.
Chauncey Depew once declared that it hurt more to have a tooth pulled than a belief destroyed, because there is no such thing as Novocaine for the mind. Clearly, Joan Larkin is determined not to have Alan Pearson play dentist to her belief that the answer to the ills of the world is to escape to some legendary underground kingdom. On the other hand, I may have used the word legendary with ill-advised haste, for as fantastic as the Hollow Earth Club may seem, can we be certain that their journey will come to naught? I'll return with our concluding act in a few moments.
There's a laxative medicine you should know about. X-Lax pills. Overnight, X-Lax pills gently stimulate your system's own natural rhythm. In the morning, your system takes it from there, comfortably. That's the difference. Because X-Lax pills stimulate your system's own natural rhythm. For occasional use, only as directed.
Now, a powerful anti-itch drug you can buy without a prescription. Bicozine Cream, medical formula for itching. Powerful. Use as directed. Bicozine Cream.
Some diseases are so shattering that those who suffer from them often withdraw from everything they love. Ileitis and colitis are such diseases. They cause diarrhea and constant pain. Through research, the Foundation for Ileitis and Colitis is seeking the cure. You can help the victims of these diseases live a normal life without pain or loneliness. Please, give to the Foundation for Ileitis and Colitis. Post Office Box 1715, New York, 117.
A public service of this station.
Hey, buddy, can you give a fella a break?
Sorry, fella, I only give at the office.
I'm not looking for a handout.
What can I do for you?
Help save my life and breath.
Do you need mouth-to-mouth breathing? I'm not the type.
No, but you're smoking. And your smoke is hitting me where I breathe. And what with an allergy and pollution, you're not helping any.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bother you.
Sure, but the fact is that your smoke is getting in my eyes and nose and throat. And that's not a good song for my lungs.
Well, you could always move away.
I do, and then there's another one puffing away in my face. How about a deal? Like the Lung Association says, smoke if you must, but make smoking a private affair. Or quit. Secondhand smoke is truly offensive for non-smokers.
Well, I'll give it a try.
Wish you would. Otherwise, they're going to hang a tag on you.
A tag?
Yeah. Cigarettes are a health hazard, and so are you.
Got you, buddy. Now, about that handout.
Save it. Let me give you one. Your Lung Association says that giving up smoking is a matter of life and breath.
Oh, am I on? Excuse me.
Yes.
Harumph. Get a harumph out of that guy. Oh, good gravy. This guy is still not a believer yet. But the young lady is.
He'll be going down just the same.
Yep, just to maybe try to keep this woman safe, because it seems like he's got the hots for her. Or at least interested.
Well, he was looking for a girlfriend, but
I don't recommend underground when you're looking for a girlfriend.
The cemetery. Christopher Tabori. What?
At the cemetery.
At the cemetery. Yes.
It's not a good place to look for dates.
Born in Malibu, California, August 4th, 1952, son of director, American film director Don Siegel and Swedish-American actress Vivica Lindfors. He appeared in one of his mother's films, Weddings and Babies, as a young boy. In 1995, they appeared together in The Last Summer in the Hamptons. His parents divorced in 1953. Lindfors married Hungarian writer and director George Tabori. Christopher adopted his stepfather's surname and changed the spelling, the English spelling of his forename. So he went from Christopher with a C to Christopher. So C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R, he was born with, changed to Christopher, K-R-I-S-T-O-F-F-E-R, Tabori. Now, interesting, there he started his career as a stage actor in his teens and late 60s. During the 70s, he appeared in many films, including John and Mary, Pigeons, Making It, Journey Through Rosebud, and Girlfriends. Majority of his work, however, was in television drama, beginning with a notable role of Bert in the TV film of Arthur Miller's A Memory of Two Mondays. During the other two decades, he appeared in Counselor at Law, Canon, Marcus Welby and D, Streets of San Francisco, Rockford Files, Barnaby Jones, Murder, She Wrote, Tour of Duty, and a miniseries including QB the Seventh, which is, I think, Cleveland quarterback, the seventh since last week. Anyway, Seventh Avenue, Brave New World, and Strong Medicine. In 1988, he played the part of Sir Henry Baskerville in a television production of The Hound of the Baskervilles next to Jeremy Brett as Sherlock Holmes and Edward Hardwick as Dr. Watson. Now, that was the British version, television version of Sherlock Holmes, which got played on A&E network over here. He began directing television and has over 40 shows credit, most episode dramas to his credit. In 2007, he directed the TV film Anna Storm and episodes of Falcon Beach. I saw him in an episode of Quantum Leap. I thought that he kind of stuck out there. He also established a career in voice-only work. In 1989, he played Professor Peter Plum in the first television series of Cluedo, where he was known for his loud protestations of innocence. He also voiced HK-47, the assassin droid, and comic relief character in the video games Star Wars Knight of the Old Republic and Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2. Tabori voices HK-47, HK-51, and HK-55, again in the 2010 Mamorg Star Wars The Old Republic. Let's see. He also was featured in, it was what? I'm looking here, 52 episodes of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. And here's an interesting bit here. Oh yes, he also voiced several characters in The Adventures of Don Coyote and Sancho Panza, as well as home video games, The Greatest Adventure, Stories from the Bible. He is an Audi Award-winning audiobook narrator. He's performed audio plays for Yuri Yavosky, as well as performing audio narration for Jeffrey and Eunice Prize, Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, Middlesex. He is the voice of the narrator Miles in the 1976 audiobook Invasion of the Body Snatchers by Jack Finney, Dale, which his father, Donald Siegel, had directed the 1956 film version of the novel.
I did not know that. Don Siegel went on to work with Clint Eastwood and others.
He also voiced major villain, the Vulture, in Spider-Man, Web of Shadows. So, very accomplished actor. Got to work with, he was in Dirty Harry, Making It, Glass House, Family Fight, Journey Through Rosebud, G.I. Joe, the movie. He was the voice of Mercer in that.
Rosebud.
So there you go. Oh, also was in an episode of the 1985 reboot of The Twilight Zone.
Oh, I wonder what he played in that.
He played Kevin Drayton in the episode Her Pilgrim Soul. So that was in the 1985 CBS reboot. So.
Oh, the reboot show. I was thinking of the movie. I'm trying to think. What segment was that? Grumble, grumble.
Yeah, it wasn't in the original series. It was in the CBS reboot.
Got it. All righty. We got a little
quite
bit more radio for you.
Quite an extensive resume for the amazing Christopher Tabori, who stars in our show tonight.
Yep, and he's doing a fine job. I kind of can't wait to see how this is going to wind up, what they're going to find, what to truly believe. Just hard enough to do today. Let's go on with The Believers, CBS Radio, back into, 1979, Dave? Wow.
1979, yep.
Yep, CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Curiosity killed the cat, and it's probably been responsible for a lot of other misdemeanors as well. As for the two people whose separate stories have brought them together under the bizarre circumstances we have been following, only one is motivated by curiosity. The other is driven by a desire to escape, and we can only speculate as to how deep that desire must be. Curiosity and desperation, not ideal traveling companions, I should say, especially when the journey is as unusual and possibly dangerous as the one they are on.
Joan, stop for a minute.
What's the matter now?
Now, don't you think we've gone far enough?
We haven't found the Hollow Earth civilization yet.
I mean, haven't we carried this whole crazy adventure far enough?
Alan, you can turn around any time you want to.
I told you, I'm not going to leave you down here alone.
Go ahead. It wouldn't be the first time.
Oh, what does that mean?
I've been left alone before. At least down here, nothing can hurt me.
I wouldn't be real sure about that.
Are you getting scared?
Frankly, yes. I don't have the same stake in this venture that you do.
Oh, that's right. For you, it's just a lark.
Have you thought this whole thing out? I mean, just how do you think you're going to make contact with this so-called civilization?
They know we're coming. When we've gone far enough to satisfy them that our intentions are serious, they'll make themselves known to us and take us the rest of the way.
How do you suppose these crystal cities function, huh?
I don't know.
I mean, what do they eat? Plants can't grow without sunlight. Life can't exist in total darkness.
Please stop talking like this. If you sneer at them, they may not let us in.
Suppose I don't stop.
What do you mean?
Suppose I don't stop sneering. Hey, you Hollow Earth people, here we come, ready or not.
Stop it. They'll hear you.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, what if I get them really riled up? Will you turn around and come back then?
No. You have no right to do this.
Well, they may decide to get nasty on...
Joan, wait a minute.
I'm going on.
Joan, okay. Wait up.
Oh!
Hey, you all right?
I just tripped, that's all.
Ooh. Oh, almost got me too. Hey, there's something here.
What is it, anyway? Shine your light over.
Oh!
Oh, my gosh.
It's a body.
Stay back. Let me see if I...
Is he...
Yes. He's dead.
Oh.
Are you all right?
Shine the light on his face.
Joan...
Please. Oh, it's Mr. Franklin.
You know him?
I met him at one of our meetings.
He was a member of the Hollow Earth Club?
Yes.
I wonder what happened.
Oh, he must have slipped and struck his head.
Yeah, look, we've got to get back up and report this.
No. No, I'm going on.
Now, Joan...
I've come this far. I can't turn back now.
He needs to be given a decent burial.
He is buried.
And as for decent, this is as decent a burial as he would ever get. He was all alone in the world, too. I'm going on.
Jones.
I want to get away from you.
Okay, you win. I'm not going any further.
That's fine with me.
I'm sorry I laughed at you.
Oh, skip it. So long.
Goodbye, Joan. Joan? Joan, what's the matter?
Oh, no.
What?
The others. All the others. They're here.
Look at that. There must be 2 dozen bodies. Are they all members of the club?
Yes.
Now, Joan, look. Oh. I don't want to become a nag. But I think we'd better turn back.
No.
Now, listen, it's ridiculous to continue. Look at this. They're all dead.
Yes. I know you're right.
What's that noise?
What?
Shh. I hear something.
Someone's coming.
Yes. But from which direction? It's hard to tell.
Turn off your light. It sounds like they're behind us. Look, there's a light.
Hello? Somebody there? Mr. Bolivar? Alan? Joan? Hello, I didn't expect to catch up with you so quickly.
Why are you coming down now? I thought you were going to wait until the last of our members came.
I was, but I'm afraid I had no choice. I just had a visit from the police.
The police? What did they want?
I didn't wait around to find out.
Why not, Mr. Bolivar?
Well, I'm sorry for those members who will not be able to make the journey with us, but my top priority must be to protect the people of Hollow Earth from the authorities. The government must not be allowed to interfere.
Mr. Bolivar, we were just about to turn around.
You mean go back to surface Earth?
Yes.
Why?
Look. Shine your light on the passageway in front of us.
Oh. What's happened?
You don't know. But they're all dead.
But these are all of us? Oh, the fools. I told them over and over that purity of intent was absolutely necessary.
Oh, you don't think that...
Well, clearly, the people of Hollow Earth did not want them to go any further.
You think they were killed by your super-civilized underground people?
Well, even civilized people have the right to defend themselves. Well, Alan, if you had any lingering doubts about the existence of the world into which we are descending, this should certainly dispel them. Is Joan all right?
Yes, I think so.
Good. Then let's push on.
Push on? You intend to keep going?
Of course.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bolivar, but Joan and I have changed our minds.
You have? Joan, is that true?
Yes.
Someone has to be notified about these bodies.
I see. Well, this does present a problem.
Why?
As I said, my first priority must be to protect the people of Hollow Earth from government intrusion. What would my chances be of gaining admittance to their world if I let you go back to surface Earth and you told the authorities about this secret entrance?
I'm afraid we'll have to, Mr. Bolivar, because of all these bodies.
I'm afraid you won't.
Alan, he's got a gun.
That's right. If you two will just walk along in front of me, we will proceed.
Do you suppose the people of Hollow Earth are going to want someone in their midst who carries a pistol?
They'll understand that it was in their best interest, Alan.
Tell me, Mr. Bolivar, what are you going to do when we come to the bottom of this cave and there's still no sign of a crystal city? Mr. Bolivar?
Alan, look behind us. He isn't there.
What? Mr. Bolivar! Mr. Bolivar! What happened to him? Where did he go?
He must have slipped and fallen over this ledge and into that chasm.
Well, he's gone for good then. Look! Our lights don't even reach the bottom.
Alan,
Let's get out of here.
Here, give me your hand.
Thanks.
Well, the police must have left. We better call them back right away.
Wait, before you do, Alan, I want to go.
Why?
I don't want to talk to the police. I don't want to have to give them a statement.
Joan, you're not in some kind of trouble, are you, with the law?
No, it's not that. I just don't want to talk about why I was here.
Where are you going?
Home.
You know, Joan, if you wanted to stick around here for a while, I mean...
No. Thank you, Alan. But I think I'd better go.
Well, maybe I could come and visit you sometime.
It's a long drive.
Well, I wouldn't mind.
You wouldn't?
No.
Well, I like that.
Papitsky, Ohio, right?
Yes.
I'll give you a 15-minute head start before I call the police.
Thank you, Alan.
Mother, I'm home.
Thank goodness. Oh, Alan, I've been so worried. Where did you go? I called the police, but when they went to Mr. Bolivar's house, they said no one was there. Oh,
so it was you who called them.
Are you all right? Oh, look at you. You're all covered with dirt. What happened?
I'll explain in a minute, Mom. I have to call the police.
Why? Alan, where's Mr. Bolivar?
He's dead.
Dead? Alan, you didn't...
No. You said you wanted to know what was going on. But I don't think you're going to believe it. Mr. Bolivar was president of something called the Hollow Earth Club.
What in heaven's name is that?
Well, it was a group of people who believed the Earth is hollow and that an advanced civilization lived down there.
How ridiculous. Oh, I always suspected Mr. Bolivar was pixelated.
The reason you never saw anyone leave the house is because they're all going down through a tunnel into a cave system to try to find this place.
Really? And that's where you were when the police came by?
Yeah.
Well, did you find it?
Oh, Mother, of course not. What we found were the dead bodies of all the club members.
Oh, how did they die?
I don't know. Mr. Bolivar tried to force us to continue at gunpoint, but then he slipped and...
And what? What?
Why didn't we hear anything?
Alan!
I was going to say he fell into a chasm. But we should have heard something.
We? Who's this we?
There was a girl there, too.
Oh, was she pretty?
Mother, something's wrong.
Was she pretty?
And those dead people, how did they die? There weren't any marks on them.
Alan, what are you talking about? Alan, where are you going? I thought you were going to call the police.
Not yet. Hey, I just want to check some things out first.
Don't leave me alone. I'll come with you. Alan, I don't think we should just go into Mr. Bolivar's house like this.
There's no need to lower your voice, Mother. Mr. Bolivar's dead, remember?
Now, how can you be sure? You said you didn't hear anything.
You come through here.
What are you going to do?
I want to go back down in that cave and have a closer look at those bodies. Help me move back this rug.
Alan, why don't you just let the police take care of this?
I want to see for myself. There we are.
What? There's a trap door.
It leads to the tunnel that takes you into the cave. Now, Mr. Bolivar said it took him 3 years to dig it. What?
What's the matter?
Mother. The tunnel. It's gone.
You mean someone filled it in?
The earth.
It's packed solid. It's like there was never a tunnel here at all.
Are you sure you have the right trapdoor?
Of course I do.
Well, looks to me like someone doesn't want you going back down there.
Who?
Well, gracious dear, I don't know.
But we just came up through that tunnel 10 minutes ago. How could anyone have filled it in so quickly?
Don't look at me, Alan. I've been at home all night.
Mother, what if Mr. Bolivar was right?
I do not believe today everything I believed yesterday. And I wonder, will I believe tomorrow everything I believed today? So pondered Mark Twain, and so might the rest of us in the sobering afterglow of our story. For even today, it is true that what exists at the center of our planet is as much a mystery as what exists in galaxies millions of light years away. There is one other loose end to our story, but that I can tie up for you when I return shortly.
Maxwell House's coffee you can count on. Maxwell House, good to the last drop. Maxwell House is
good morning.
Maxwell House is
good company.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
Maxwell House, coffee you can count on. Always smells good. Always tastes good. Always good to the last drop.
Maxwell House is
good coffee.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
This is Mary Tyler Moore, and I want to tell you about a very special place. A place which can help you cope in this ever-changing world of ours. It's the library. At the library, you'll find all the information you need to keep up with current issues, career opportunities, economic changes, and all the new technology. The library even has programs for every age group. Check out the library. That's where you'll find a lot of success stories.
A public service message from the American Library Association and this station.
Is it possible that a race of creatures exists and thrives far beneath the Earth's surface? The possibility is a slim one. There is tremendous heat and pressure exerted on the Earth's core. There is radioactivity, and there are all kinds of practical questions. On the other hand, the Earth's diameter is nearly 8,000 miles. That's a lot of territory, as far as from New York to Siberia. A lot could be going on down there. Our cast included Christopher Tabori, John Beale, and Joan Shea. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You are going to look for the town of Helm.
Who told you?
You told me.
When did I tell you?
Last night, when you were asleep.
Oh. Well, you don't want to believe what I say while I'm asleep.
Why not? I can't believe what you say while you're awake.
Now, Sora Rivka.
What did he tell you about Helm, the Baron?
He told me to find it.
Oh, well, you'll find it. You won't have any trouble at all. You know why? Because you're a fool.
Sora Rivka.
And Helm? Do you know what Helm is? Helm is the town of fools.
What are you saying?
Everyone knows it. That's why the Baron has chosen you.
Oh, no.
Yes. Mendel Moshe, like is sent to find like.
I won't go.
You must go.
But the Baron thinks I'm a fool.
Why shouldn't he think so? You are a fool.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Different outro music there behind the squeaks.
Macabre. Or, as the goat pronounces it,
which interpreted means macabre.
No, it does not. Well, I don't know. You know, goats could have a bit of an accent there. That's true.
Do we got a moral for this one?
Do we have a moral for this one? You know what? I'm sorry. I didn't think about it. And although I know the story,
Oh, I got one.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay.
Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story. Cover your head. Don't be in a big hurry to go into the hot underground. You might just get reunited with the former spouse. There we go. I don't know.
That's probably that's probably better than the one I had. So that's okay. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, if CW's not going to be here, she can't be here, I'm doing ex-spouse jokes.
That's right. That's usually my job. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's both of our jobs. Gotta keep things in perspective for our listeners. Because we're taking the Al Bundy approach. Don't do it. Marriage. It'll rot your brain, kids.
So where shall we go? Got a little extra time here for a little bit of fun.
Oh, I don't know. How about someone stick a coin in the old jukebox, perhaps?
Yeah, even inflation. I gotta dig out a wooden quarter, huh?
Yeah, a half dollar.
Oh my! I gotta keep getting bigger wooden pieces here. All right, here we go. Here's my wooden half dollar.
There you go. Sounds metallic.
But right now, the song's a thing and music is king, and here to prove it is Benny Strong and the orchestra with I Never See Maggie Alone.
She brings her father, her mother, her sister, and her brother. Oh, I never see Maggie alone. She brings her uncles and cousins. She's got them by the dozen. I never see Maggie alone. And if I phone her, say to her sweet, where shall we meet? Supposing that we eat, she brings her father, her mother, her sister, and her brother. Oh, I never see Maggie alone. Her sister and her brother. Oh, I never see Maggie alone. One night while we were out walking and she got tired of talking, she invited me up to her home. I turned the lights down, they were too bright. Oh, what a night. When I turned on the light, there was her father, her mother, her sister, and her brother. Oh, I never see Maggie alone.
She brings her father, her mother, her sister, and her brother.
Oh, I never see Maggie alone.
She brings her uncle and cousin. She's got them by the dozen.
I never see Maggie alone. And if I phone her, say to her sweet, where shall we meet? Supposing that we eat, she brings her father, her mother, her sister, and her brother. Oh, I never see Maggie alone. Nephews, uncles, cousins, by the dozen. Father, mother, sister, brother. What a family!
In musical fancy, we pay a brief visit to the paradise of the Pacific as Kay Kaiser and Art Wilson combine respectively to paint us a musical picture of My Little Grass Shack in Kealakekua, Hawaii.
I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kealakekua, Hawaii. I want to be with all the Connies and Vahinis that I knew long ago. I can hear old guitars a-playin' on the beach at Honau. I can hear the Hawaiians saying, Komo manu kawe, kahale vele kahau. It won't be long till my ship will be sailing back to Kono. A grand old place that's always fair to see. I'm just a little Hawaiian and a homesick island boy. I want to go back to my fish and poi. I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kealakekua, Hawaii. Where the huma huma nuka nuka wapawa'a go swimming by. Where the huma huma nuka nuka wapawa'a go swimming by. Go back to my little grass shack in Kealakekua, Hawaii. Where the huma huma nuka nuka wapawa'a go swimming by. Where the huma huma nuka nuka wapa wapa go swimming by. Go
Coupon number 17, ration coupon 17. Are you planning to use your shoe ration coupon to buy white shoes? If so, give them the best of care. Keep them clean with Energene Shoe White. No shoe white can make your shoes look whiter than Energene Shoe White. It's made with the very whitest pigment known, and it spreads so easily, dries so evenly, it gives your shoes the neat, well-kept look they must have to give you the most satisfactory wear. For the best of care for the white shoes you wear, remember Energene Shoe White. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You may not find us on your TV, because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you by... Brought to you by RADIO.
Hamilton Ivy Bay 0106.
Take 72.
I tell you what, let's try it one more time. If I crack one.
Nice and soft because I don't know them.
One, two, three, four.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight?
Good heavens.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart?
Sorry I picked this one.
No,
it's a memory stray to a bright summer day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart.
Do the chairs and your parlor seem empty and bare?
Do you gaze at your doorstep and picture me there. Is your heart filled with pain?
Mama.
Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight? Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
There is a really cool story behind this, Dale.
Yeah.
This is Al Jolson was the first to record this song. Well, the first I know of the recording. He recorded it in 1948. And Elvis loved the song so much that he recorded it as well, very much in the same manner that Al Jolson did. And it probably would have been, had Al Jolson lived longer into the television era, there would have been a chance that they got the chance to sing this together. But Al didn't. And so what happened is I think when the pandemic hit just a few years ago, they finally figured a way to completely separate the voice from the music track. Well, yeah. And the thing is, the Al Jolson one was just a slightly different key than the Elvis Presley one. So they were able to change the key of the Al Jolson one and mix them together as a duet. I just think it was just really,
it's
really
marvelous.
Cool that
that is absolutely marvelous, Dave. Thanks for uploading that one where we could play it again here on Erie House Radio. Next week. Aren't we going to have another week next week?
We are going to have another week. I think I hear some buzzing about that show.
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz going on because it's not about the birds, but it is about the bees. We got Sam Spade, Johnny Dollar, and Gregory Hood on Friday, so it'll be kind of detective night. And we're going to be still buzzed, man, on Saturday with the Saint and Suspense. That's
yes.
Next weekend. Yeah, good time of year for that. I'm getting a lot of little bees in my yard.
Oh, are you? Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's just in time then.
Yeah,
they're waiting for
welcome.
Next week's show. Then maybe they'll go away after they pollinate for you. Anyway, hey, shameless promotion time, Tuesday, 9 p.m. on The Vortex. We're just Really Bad Movie returns to The Vortex for another fun show.
Oh, good. Maybe this time I'll be able to stay awake for once in my life. Oh, my gosh.
And I'll even post a reminder on Tuesday. Hopefully. We're doing some filming a brand new episode of Spaceship One.
Nice.
Filming it in two segments. One will be Tuesday, and then 2 weeks later, we're finishing off the filming the episode. So another brand new Spaceship One episode will soon be on its way.
Cool. I have a bunch of these. I wish I had my old channel. Whatever. I do miss doing the TV stuff. It was fun. Who knows what the future holds, but you can bet we'll be back week after week after week with tons and tons of material we have not yet shared. There's, in spite of doing this for, almost 6 years? There's still only scratching the surface. And want to thank everyone for listening tonight. Good old Bob for hanging out with us in the chat for the duration. In about 1 minute, you can get on over to them there Twitches and catch Gar the Ghoul. Horrible Horror, starring Gar the Ghoul.
That's right. And I'm just ready for more fun. So let's
the
go.
The castle
with
lights are growing dim.
Yep.
Oops. Sorry,
there's
Dave.
No one left but me and him.
And
when next we meet in Frankenstone,
the goat.
Don't come alone.
Can you dig it?
Time for one more scream. There we go. Yeah.
Now we've had time. Yeah.
I find that very soothing. I don't know why.
You find that soothing? Boy, your ex must have really gotten into you. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You better believe it. And then there was finally time to say...
Bye-bye!
And I left her. Or she left me, or we left each other.
But at least she wanted to stay friends.
Yeah, she did. Right after telling me, I hope you get killed in an auto wreck. I have better friends than that. Much better, I think. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe my friends want that. I don't know. I just don't think so. Doesn't seem right.
Yep.
So, yeah, I said no. That's it.
Well, maybe we should go ahead and sign off. So I think you still got time before the rain comes to get the Lottie boy out for a walk.
Me Pelly, me best bud. He needs to stretch his legs. And
there you
with
go.
That, let's bring out the Schnozzola himself.
Turn on the three spotlights and let's go.
Good night.
You're up, Jim.
Good night. Good night. Good night. It's time to say good night. Good night. Good night. What more is this say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Ari, roll up, we the same, and inka-tinka-doo.
Inka-tinka-doo.
Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Show starts in 1 minute.
Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
It was disgusting.
Show starts in 1 minute.
What?